Recorded Books and RB Digital present Age of War by Michael J. Sullivan. Narrated by Tim Gerard Reynolds. Chapter 1. The Road to War. Life had been the same for hundreds of years. Then the war came, and nothing was ever the same again. The Book of Brynn. Suri the Mystic talked to trees, danced to the sound of wind chimes, hated bathing, howled at the moon, and had recently levelled a mountain, wiping out centuries of dwarven culture in an instant. She had done so mostly out of grief, but partly out of anger. A dwarf had been insensitive after the death of Suri's best friend. He should have been more sympathetic. But during the days since it happened, Suri had come to realise she could have shown more restraint. Perhaps merely setting Gronbach on fire, or having the earth swallow the vile wretch, would have been a better choice. Neither option had occurred to her at the time, and an entire civilization had suffered. It had been a bad day for everyone. Nearly a week later, Suri woke in a field amidst salafan, ragwort, and meadow thistle, the sun peeking over distant hills. Golden shafts made diamonds of dewdrops and revealed the labour of 1,000 spiders who had cast nets between blades of grass. Having spent the night outside, Suri, too, was soaked and a bit chilled, but the sun's kiss promised to make everything better. She sat in the dew, the sun on her face, and stared at the field surrounding the seaside doll, listening to the faint hum of bumblebees as they began their morning's work. Then a butterfly flew across her sight and ruined everything. Suri began to cry. She didn't bow her head. Keeping her face to the sunlight, she let the tears roll down her cheeks, spilling onto the grass, adding to the dew. Her little body hitched and shuddered. Suri cried until she was out of tears, but the pain still tore at her heart. Eventually, she merely sat in the field, shoulders stooped, arms limp, fingers reaching out for the warm fur that wasn't there. Since returning from across the sea, most days started this way. Mornings offered a tiny respite from the pain, but before long she remembered, and reality crashed in. Then the sky became less blue, the sun not nearly as bright, and not even the flowers could make her smile. And there was one more loss left to face. Arion was dying. Suri! She was slow to react, slow to realise it was her name being called. Somewhere behind her, the grass rustled and feet thumped. The rapid tempo of those footfalls indicated it could only be one person, and that meant just one thing. Suri! Brynn called again. The mystic didn't bother to turn, didn't want to see, didn't want to face. She's awake! Brynn shouted this time. Suri spun. Her eyes are open. Brynn was running, plunging through the tall grass, soaking her skirt. Every muscle in Suri's body came alive. She sprang up like a startled deer and sprinted past Brynn, racing toward the road. In no time, she reached the tent Roan had built specifically for the Miraleith. When Suri burst in, Arion was still on the pallet, but her eyelids fluttered. Padera was helping her sit up to drink.
Tiny sips, the old woman barked. I know you want to guzzle like a drunk, but trust me, it'll come right back up on you. And me. Even if you don't care, I do.
Suri stood under the flap, staring. Part of her refused to believe what she was seeing. She was afraid it was merely a dream, and worried that the moment she embraced the sight, the illusion would dissolve, and the pain would rush back with twice the force. She didn't